The popular British writer H.G. Wells wrote, "This doctrine of the kingdom of heaven is certainly one of the most revolutionary doctrines that ever stirred and changed human thought." What made heaven so revolutionary was a shift from this world to the next, for which Jesus is almost single-handedly responsible. In fact, heaven is one of his most unique contributions. In the Old Testament, God promises the prophets and patriarchs a kingdom in the literal sense. They will rule the earth in his name. Thus, God makes a covenant, a binding legal contract, with David that he will never lack a man to sit upon his throne forever. Since David was already a king, this promise was taken to mean that David's throne in Jerusalem would be God's for all eternity. Jesus himself seems to second this notion when he promises that the kingdom of God is near at hand. Yet his teaching extends much further. In Christ's conception, heaven is present. It's an inward experience that can be felt by the righteous. Heaven is also future. It's returning home to be with God that the righteous await on Judgment Day. Heaven is personal. It is to be found within you. At the same time, heaven is universal. It is an eternal abode beyond birth and death, a place outside creation. This teaching was revolutionary because Jesus built a bridge to the soul, exhorting every person to find his or her way across. Before, being righteous in the eyes of Jehovah was a matter of ritual, obeying the priests and not breaking divine commandments. Whether the Old Testament even holds out any afterlife is a matter of debate. After Jesus, people could go on a spiritual journey. Heaven was a prize one had to win through one's own efforts. The urgency to win heaven has fueled Christianity to this day, and even the most fervent believers declare that it must never be forgotten. But do they remember that the entire process happens inside? In today's culture, Christianity has become stuck in literal images, such as heaven that is truly a place filled with harps and angels and fluffy white clouds. There is no hint of an inward journey and no room for creative exploration of the soul. People argue over an imaginary landscape far removed from Jesus' actual teaching. When Jesus tells his disciples that they should be in the world but not of it, he's telling his closest followers to stop thinking of themselves as physical creatures. Many times Jesus sounds like a rishi in the tradition of Vedanta. Certainly that's true about being in the world but not of it, which is a direct repudiation of materialism. Jesus becomes more explicit if we look outside the four Gospels to the fragmentary Gospel of Thomas, which was written very early, perhaps within a century after the crucifixion, but was later excluded from the official canon. Jesus said, "If those who lead you say to you, 'See, the kingdom is in heaven,' then the birds of the sky will go before you. If they say to you, 'It is in the sea,' then the fish will go before you. But the kingdom is within you, and it is outside of you. When you know yourselves, then you will be known, and you will know that you are the sons of the living Father." This passage shows how profound the roots of religion are and how compatible the great traditions of wisdom would be if dogma didn't stand in the way. What Jesus says here supports the view that heaven is everywhere, but it goes further by saying that heaven is an inward experience, an experience in consciousness. That is why Jesus diverts his disciples' attention away from the physical world. He sees the soul everywhere, and thus he can see that the essence of people lies outside time and space. Like the rishis, Jesus was comfortable living with eternity. Why then aren't we? Eternity can't be grasped by the mind in our ordinary waking state. Our waking state is dominated by time, while eternity is not.